This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. Of Bandits and Bad Magic by Leslie Herron. Chapter 23, Rotomertus.
I have a question.
Eric fought off the urge to raise his hand.
He was sure the others were listening, but it was hard to break old habits. They were huddled in one of the many small campsites that dotted the outskirts of the capital, which served as makeshift waypoints for travelers waiting to get in or those unlucky enough to be denied entrance. Several of the larger tents had become permanent structures to service the crowds with food, lodging, or companionship. Oftentimes, all three.
So, why are we making plans to sneak into the castle when we could just walk right in? I'm supposed to be playing the part.
His words faded as they heard the trundle of a nearby cart. He slouched into the shadows as a large, covered wagon housing a rowdy bunch of soldiers passed by without notice. He glanced over to the queen.
Look, if I'm going to be pretending to be the king, we might as well try it out on the guards here.
Pyra closed her eyes and took a long breath from her nose.
Have you heard none of what was said on the journey here?
Scratching at the back of his head, Eric let out a weak chuckle.
Sorry. It just sounded like bickering, so I tuned it out.
Undine laid a hand on the queen's shoulder, hoping to ease her building frustration.
We cannot simply barge in through the front gates. Lucien has been hunting you for some time now, and the guards would surely alert him to your arrival. We don't want to give him any time to formulate a plan.
She let out a long sigh.
Likely, your head would be the only part of you to make it all the way to Bastionol, if we do not think this through.
Eric let out an exasperated groan and slumped back against the base of the nearest tree. He was about to suggest they give up and turn in for the night when a light bulb clicked on in his mind.
I have an idea.
Unable to conceal his excitement, he opened his hand. Atlas, who had been half-dozing against the side of his faithful companion, idly watching some of the working girls, looked up in time to see the false king produce a fistful of shadow pebbles. No master arcanist indeed, but even he had to admit the man was a quick study. He lifted a finger and said, with a coy smile,
"And what do you plan on doing with a handful of shadows?"
Grinning from ear to ear now, Eric shifted the marbles from one palm to the other, then let them clack around in his hands.
"They're not just shadows anymore."
He tossed one to the ground and pointed at it. Since the object was still linked to him, he could control it at a short distance. With little effort, he caused the marble to zip back and forth across the soil. Wraith, still taking on the form of Eric's shadow, batted at the marble playfully.
"I could use these to distract the guards while we all sneak in. And then..."
Atlas let out a bark of laughter.
"And then you get us all caught. I keep telling you, buddy, shadow magic is best left to making puppets."
He gave a final smirk before snuggling back into the fur of his friend when something small collided with his forehead.
"Ow!"
He rubbed at the welt as he shot a look at the false king.
"What was that for?"
Eric bit back on his smile and shook his head a little.
"Wraith did it."
Atlas threw out a finger, threatening to draw a sigil in his direction.
"I can still exorcise that little bug from you."
At the terrified, high-pitched scream echoing in his mind, Eric shook his head again, this time more vigorously.
"Leave him alone, or my first decree as king will be to close all the brothels permanently."
"You wouldn't."
Pyra stomped her foot.
Knock it off, you two. Can we focus, please?
Honestly, it was like trying to corral a pack of ferrets. She looked around at the others, a thought having come to her in that moment.
Hunt us!
Atlas sprang to his feet, looking wildly from side to side.
Bounty hunters? Where?
Pyra shook her head.
No, hunt us. If we could get our hands on a wagon, we could sneak in under the guise of hunter trappers. And Barry over there could be our kill.
Atlas stood, shaking his head in a disapproving manner.
Nuh-uh. I'm not letting you use my friend here as a carcass.
I would never harm such a majestic creature.
Barry, feeling a dash of pride, sat upright and puffed out his chest, glowing with self-satisfaction.
But as disheveled as he is, he looks half-dead already. All he would have to do is lie there.
Atlas shot his friend a consoling look as the bear flopped back down, pouting.
Besides, how do you plan on getting a wagon? It's not like we can just buy one.
Pyra let out a dry chuckle.
Naive mage. Of course I can just buy one.
She reached around to her side, pulling free the drawstring bag and revealing it to them. She tugged against the leather, pulling it open to reveal the contents glittering inside.
I managed to save for my ventures, and this should be more than enough to purchase a simple wagon from any one of these folks.
Atlas pursed his lips at the insult, but held his tongue as he leaned in to glimpse at the fortune the queen was foolish enough to brag about. He stifled a chuckle, returning his gaze to hers.
Ah, well, those are mighty pretty, Your Highness.
He gestured at the bag, a twinkle of laughter in his eyes.
But I doubt they're pretty enough to convince a merchant to trade a wagon for them.
Curious at the sarcasm in his words, Pyra looked down at the bag in her hands. Instead of the small wealth of coins and gems, the contents had been replaced with small chunks of limestone. There was a scrap of paper tucked in just beneath the top layer. She fished it out and unfurled the yellow page to see a simple remark. Courtesy of all thieves and murderers. She didn't need to see Sabine's signature at the bottom to know it was from the Bandit Queen. She let out a cry of frustration and hurled the bag of rocks towards their escort.
This is your fault!
Rassizi caught the bag with lazy disinterest. She shifted the contents until she could read the note, and a smile curled across her lips. She let loose a dry laugh, turning her attention back to the sullen queen.
I had nothing to do with your loss of coin. You were warned to behave. Perhaps you will remember your manners next time.
Pyra scowled as she turned away from the orc.
Yes, what a clever lesson. So clever, it endangers our entire mission.
So much for her royal stipend. The thought had barely come to her when she whipped around to face the prince. She wasn't the only true royal in the group.
What about your gold?
Varen jumped at being addressed. The queen had been short with him ever since they had met outside the Infinite Tower, but her question had almost been civil. He reached for his money bag, expecting to see something similar as he pulled against the drawstring. What he found was more gold than he had left with. He was ready to sign that he had the coin to purchase a wagon when his mentor's words floated into his mind.
Don't give him your money.
It was one of Evan's golden rules. Only admit to having funds as a last resort. Frugality was the mother of innovation. He hid his smirk with a frown as he drew closed his bag and shook his head. He bumped one fist with the other, telling her that his bag was just rocks.
They got all your gold, too.
Varen nodded vigorously. Throwing her hands above her head, Pyra let out a frustrated cry of anger.
filthy toad! When I get my hands on her...
Eric pushed his fingers into his forehead. It was like traveling with a spoiled child who wasn't used to not getting what they wanted all the time. He looked up to see Rassizi, finishing up the last bites of her dried meal. It was still odd considering her an ally.
Are you sure you can't help get us in?
The orc's smile peeled around her tusks as she barked a laugh before tossing the scraps of her food to her hellhound.
My job was to get you to the kingdom in one piece, so you could hold up your end of the bargain. The rest is up to you. As it is, I'd be shot on sight.
Rassizi sidled over to the giant dog's back, grabbing a tuft of mangy fur around his neck. She gave Pyra a sidelong sneer.
Perhaps if you didn't treat my kind as monsters, I could be of more help. Ah well, hindsight and all. Good luck, Your Majesty.
She hoisted herself atop her pet and steered him away from them using her knees.
And don't think of running. We have eyes all over these woods.
Eric didn't get the chance to respond before the giant hellhound let out a savage bark and bounded for the darkness of the trees. He blew out an exasperated breath between his teeth and turned back to the others. His mind kept going back to his latest obsession.
Hang on, I have another idea.
In the same vein as earlier, he produced a handful of shadow marbles, but this time he used his mind to manipulate them into flat discs.
All we need is some gold paint, and we can trick some farmer into lending us his cart for a bit.
He grinned with pride as he shook the coins around in his hand. He was impressed by the speed at which he could create now, and it was barely taxing. A week ago, he would have been drenched in sweat attempting just one coin. Atlas folded his arms across his chest.
If we had gold paint, we could just paint the rocks, you nincompoop.
He shook his head, fighting back the urge to be impressed when another something hard bounced off his forehead.
Oi, knock it off, you little shadow bug.
Pyra, ignoring their exchange, pointed to a cart that was pulled off into one of the small campsites exactly across from them.
Look, that fine group of upstanding men has a wagon. Perhaps we could convince them to help.
Evan turned in the direction the queen indicated and pulled a face. Even though it was still daylight, they had a roaring campfire roasting an animal turning on a spit, and several mismatched chairs gathered around a lopsided table. There was far too much alcohol being spilled for them to be anything but filthy and rowdy ruffians. He looked up at Pyra, jabbing a thumb at the upstanding men.
You mean those guys gambling over there?
The queen set her jaw as she tucked back the wayward strands of loose hair. She brushed off the front of her vest and tugged at the hem of her silk garment. She turned to her guardian.
How do I look? Regal enough?
Undine bit at her lip.
Majesty, please, allow me to go in your stead. They do not look like the trustworthy type.
Pyra waved off the dryad airily.
I'll be fine. I've dealt with worse.
She didn't wait for further arguments before she darted across the dusty road, dodging the oncoming and leaving carriages with ease. She was able to smell them long before she could hear their conversation. The stench was so pungent, she was reminded of Bob, but worse. As she approached, one of the men, slightly better dressed than the others, slammed his mug on the table and leapt to his feet.
Rotten cheats! All of ya!
As he pushed past her, ignoring the hail of laughter and jeering, one of the filthier men noticed Pyra and flashed her a toothless smile.
Ah, pretty lady, come to join us for a drink and a wager.
He thumbed his cards with eager anticipation.
Pyra choked down a bit of bile and flashed them a forced grin.
My dear sirs, I was wondering if you'd be interested in allowing me to borrow your cart for a day. I am the Queen of Ebra, and am in need of secrecy entering my own kingdom. If you agree, I will send you a fair pittance for your troubles with the return of your wagon.
She looked around at the men. They didn't appear to be listening to her words, but rather chuckling as they undressed her with hungry eyes. She took a step back, her fake smile faltering.
What say you?
Their sinister laughter died away when a tall, lengthy man climbed to his feet. He was thin as death and pale as stone, with a long, matted black beard that reached his navel.
You can't be the queen. She ain't as pretty as you.
His voice was slow and sticky as he pointed towards the cart.
But if you're interested in the wagon, I could give you a personal tour.
He offered her a gold-toothed grin. Pyra, appalled at the brazen behavior, retreated back to the others, ignoring their catcalls and whistles as she turned her back on them. Ondine was gripping her halberd with a dangerous expression on her face.
Allow me to negotiate on your behalf. They will beg to show you proper respect before I am through with them.
Pyra held up a hand.
Not now, Ondine. I need a way to prove to those ruffians that I am the queen.
Evan stroked his chin as he watched the tall man looking for a new potential victim to flag down.
Hang on, your highness. I think you was on the right track.
He had an idea, one that even his grandmother would applaud. A wicked grin cut across his face.
Leave this to me. I just need to borrow that shiny bracelet.
Pyra pulled her hand away, hiding her jewelry with her fingers.
No, my husband gave me this.
Evan motioned for her to pony up the goods.
Relax, I got this.
Atlas licked his lips as he motioned for the donkey to move forward. He twisted in his seat, turning to the others in the back of the wagon.
Remember, let me do all the talking, and don't say nothing unless a guard asks you a question personally.
He shifted in his seat, following the line of others entering the city. Pyra fidgeted beneath the smelly clothing that had been won off the gamblers. They needed to look the part of hunters, but the fabric was so itchy and filth-stained, she was having second thoughts. At least the floppy hat she wore to cover her braided hair was the least disgusting thing they'd owned. She turned to the tiny merc.
I must admit, you did well. Truly, you are a formidable foe for one so small.
Evan perked up at the compliment. He looked more like a child wearing an adult-sized shirt. He waved the queen off with a hand buried in a sleeve.
Nah, as drunk as they were, they didn't stand a chance.
I've never seen someone win every odds like that.
Undine offered him a rare smile before she shifted in the tall man's borrowed garments. They were just large enough to cover her armor.
You must teach me how to cheat like you sometime.
Evan turned a deep shade of maroon at her charming smile and sunk deeper into his oversized shirt. The wagon jerked to a stop as two crimson-clad guards stepped forward. One of them, bearing a pike with the Regent Lord's crest, moved closest to Atlas.
Oi, what's all this then? Smuggling foreigners into the city, are we?
Atlas chuckled nervously and cleared his throat.
I could see how your fine gentleman might think that, but what I have here is the fruit of a week's worth of tracking.
He reached behind him to slap Barry's backside a couple of times.
This beastie right here is headed for the meat carvers, and then on to the apothecaries for a nice payday.
He pulled out his best smile.
Taxes paid to the kingdom, of course.
The other guard circled the wagon, looking in at the hooded figures gathered around the bear. Their clothes were ill-fitting, filth-stained, and even the smell of stale beer couldn't mask the stench of B.O. He wrinkled his nose as he leaned over to poke the dead animal. Its eyes were opened and glazed over, its tongue hanging limp from its mouth. There was a large bloodstain on its side. He looked over to the nearest hunter, noting they were a dwarven child that couldn't be older than 12.
"That's a mighty fine beast you've bagged there. He'll keep many fed in the coming months if salted properly."
Evan nodded, slapping Barry.
"He put up a good fight, probably protecting a clutch of cubs."
As the small child smacked the bear, the guard got a whiff of putrid decay. He gagged lightly, turning away.
"Oh, gods! That thing's been dead too long. No butcher will take that."
Atlas knew that hiding Bob beneath Barry was a risky plan, but necessary. He swallowed his nerves and gave the guard a wink.
"I know of one or two that are less discerning. Trust me, he's going to fetch a lovely price."
The two guards exchanged a look, and then the one standing closest to the cart's front stepped aside.
"All right, everything's in order. Go on in."
Before Atlas could urge the skittish donkey into motion, the other guard held up his hand.
"Hang on, I'd like to get myself a souvenir, if you don't mind. Something for my lad."
He reached towards the bear's open mouth, his fingers poised to pry out the frontmost canine. The others inside the wagon froze. Of course, Barry was just playing dead. But even the most agreeable bear would bite a hand shoved in their mouth. Atlas, silver-tongued devil he was, sprang into action and slapped the guard's hand away.
"If you take a souvenir, as you call it, you'll owe me the full price a pristine bear skull would fetch at the apothecary's."
The guard, rubbing at his hand and fighting the urge to arrest the cart driver, looked up with a snort.
"And how much is that?"
Atlas licked his lips as he imagined an outlandish price.
400 gold pieces for a skull."
A smile broke across his features as he watched the guard go pale.
"And 50 a claw."
The guard shrugged.
"Eh, the kid's not that likable."
There was a long, collective breath of relief as the wagon rolled over the wooden bridge and past the two sentry towers. Passing beneath an iron gate, the great city of Ebonvane sprawled out before them. Eric pulled back his hood slightly, taking in the glittering city. Literally. At the heart was Bastion Hall, a monumental feat of grand architecture. Carved from the obsidian-colored stones of the mountain itself, it glistened in the sun rays that broke through the rolling fog that washed down from the towering hillsides. The black stone shimmered with flecks of gold, causing each brick to shift in hue like velvet. The same mineral had been used throughout the city, interspersed with white marble and cobblestone. Mosaics were patterned in the street, creating colorful mazes and unique art. Stone buildings used chunks of the material for keystones, all embellished with the royal symbol. The castle itself was a spiraling maze of stone walkways and carved arches. Countless windows were scattered across the tallest tower, and dozens of crimson flags waved lazily on the breeze. Above the city, nestled against the very mountain's edge, was a thick, dark forest, hinting at the wildlands that lay beyond. The streets were bustling with people, so much so that it was difficult for Atlas to maneuver their cart out of the way. Several more wagons, laden with vegetables, lumber, or barrels of mead and whiskey, trundled by. The markets, distinguished by their vibrant tents, were filled to bursting with countless shoppers and vendors.
Shop owners were sweeping dusty sidewalks outside their businesses, and street performers vied for attention over one another in what felt like a rare moment of euphoria. The entire city glistened with prosperity. They had not seen a single beggar or urchin child through the winding streets. Was it due to economic bliss or strict policing? Eric couldn't be sure. After an hour of wandering the streets, Atlas finally managed to find a secluded alleyway and pulled the cart to a stop. He spun in his seat, tapping Barry between the shoulders.
"Oh, that was a close one, buddy. You did good, though."
The bear sat up, giving a resounding grunt of disapproval as he pushed himself away from the undead laying beneath him. He huffed several times under his breath as he lumbered from the wagon and collapsed against a sagging pile of discarded straw. Undine leapt over the side of the wagon, discarding, at last, the filthy and smelly shirt.
"Your Majesty, with your leave, I shall sneak into the castle and procure some of your husband's things."
As part of the plan, their decoy would need to look the part before approaching Lucien. Evan, not wishing to let the tall goddess dart off on her own, jumped to his feet.
"Wait, let me come with you. I can help with the sneaking."
A smile broke across her face, and Undine shook her head.
"No, little one. Stay here and protect the queen."
She reached over and ruffled his mop of blonde hair. Never one to miss an opportunity to stick it to his small rival, Atlas shed the borrowed vest before turning to the Crimson Guardian.
"Perhaps you'll allow me to join ya."
He jumped down from his seat on the wagon, sidling up to the dryad.
"A powerful arcanist can be quite handy to have around."
With a roll of her eyes and an exasperated sigh, Undine nodded begrudgingly.
"Very well. If the gods spot me, I shall use you as a distraction while I escape."
She didn't wait for any more honeyed words from the arcanist before she slunk into the shadows with speed. Atlas threw out a hand, calling after her.
"Wait for me!"
Evan watched the two dart around shops and horses with a heavy sigh. Pyra pulled the cloak off her shoulders and tossed it into a rubbish pile alongside discarded, rotten fruits.
"Ugh, I am going to need to take several baths to get that stench off me."
She let out a sigh as she turned to look up at her castle. She had lost count of the years it had been since she felt a spark of hope as she gazed at the glistening ebony structure. She had been raised from birth to be a queen, a servant of her people. When Elias had asked for her hand, Ebra had become her home, and its burdens hers to bear, its enemies hers to fight, even if that enemy was her husband's brother. She looked over at the false king, who pulled a face after sniffing the hem of his absurd blue coat. She felt that spark of hope begin to dwindle again as she watched him repeat this process a couple more times. She snapped her fingers in his direction.
"Get down from there and come here. We have precious little time to get you ready to take on Lucien."
Eric threw one leg over the side of the cart and stopped.
"Wait, take on? I'm not supposed to fight him, am I?"
His voice fell away as he misjudged the distance to the ground and toppled from the wagon, landing hard on his back with a groan. Pyra closed her eyes and sucked in a breath for courage. When she opened them, she watched Varen help the man to his feet with enthusiasm.
"Not a physical confrontation. You'll simply be ordering him from the throne to supplant him. Now, come here so I can give you a once-over before Undine returns."
Eric marched in front of the queen, a slight frown furrowing his brow. He didn't like the idea of waltzing into a heavily guarded castle and attempting to overthrow a tyrant. He felt the anxiety begin to weigh him down.
Pyra watched his shoulders slump and knew in her heart this was a lost cause. Her husband was a man of power, of pride and authority. This mediocre substitute was saggy and unsure of himself at best. She walked around, taking in his sloppy habits and his poor posture. She reached out and slapped his backside, hiding a smile as he whipped his spine straight in reaction.
"Good. Square your shoulders. A king does not slouch. He stands proud and confident."
"I think she likes you."
Eric overlooked the giggle in his mind and ignored the twinge of pain beginning to radiate through his body from his new stance. He hoped she didn't intend for him to stay this way. Pyra circled back around to the man's front, looking him over once again. Her husband's hair was long the last time she had seen him, but this man sported a short, stylized cut. No workaround for that. Well, no good workaround. She reached up and ran her fingers through his hair, forcing the wayward strands to fall in line. Without a proper bath, this was the best she could do. She gave a satisfied shrug as her fingers fell across the scruff on his cheeks.
"I think she really likes you."
She squinted at him before lowering the glasses on his face a little down the bridge of his nose. She could feel her pulse quicken as their eyes met. Not for this individual before her, but who he was starting to look like. They had the same caring, inquisitive eyes. Pyra shook the thoughts away from her mind and turned her attention to the tiny dwarf.
"Might I borrow your sharpest knife, please?"
She extended an open hand, but the merc wasn't listening. His gaze was still fixed on the shadows where the other two had disappeared. She reached over, placing her hand on his shoulder. This captured his attention, and when he turned to face her, she offered him a smile.
"Sir Evan, Ondine does not take my safety lightly. If she asked you to stay with me, then that means she has much faith in your abilities."
Evan felt a rush of color flood his cheeks, and he tried to hide his grin.
"Sir Evan, I like that. I think I'm going to have to use that on my business cards."
He reached down and pulled out one of his knives with a flourish, laying it gently against her open palm. Pyra nodded her thanks and turned back to the false king, brandishing the knife in her hand.
"Now, hold still. This should only take a moment."
Eric ran his fingernails against his irritated skin and shifted uncomfortably against his new garments. He couldn't say that Elias didn't have a good dress sense. This was probably the nicest thing he'd ever worn. A fine brocade doublet in black and crimson, with a simple ivory blouse beneath it. The dark canvas trousers he could grow accustomed to, but the soft leather boots that damn near reached his knees were another story entirely. The whole ensemble felt uncomfortable to wear, and not just because of the difference between his actual clothes, but because they belonged to another man. Pyra whirled around, leveling a threatening finger at him.
"Stop fidgeting!"
"I can't help it. These clothes are terrible and I hate them. I look ridiculous. Plus, you carved up my face, and it hurts."
Eric knew he was sounding petulant, but it was true. She had left several bleeding marks on his face in her rush to cleave his facial hair from his skin.
"I told you not to squirm."
Pyra turned back, peering around a corner. She could see, at the end of the corridor, two lone guards standing on either side of a large wooden door, dozing against their poleaxes. They had managed this far by traveling through servants' corridors and abandoned quarters. More than once, Atlas had to cause a distraction to let them slip past.
Luckily, the resulting fire damage had been contained mainly to the many tapestries depicting Lucien's imaginary military victories. Eric's stomach was twisting in knots the closer they got.
"Did I mention I suffer from stage fright?"
Pyra looked back at the man who now closely resembled her lost king.
"It's a bit late for that. Besides, Tuesdays are the day that the Regent Lord takes grievances from the public, so there shouldn't be more than one or two people inside with him."
She pointed over her shoulder.
"Getting past the guards will take some work, but I think we can talk our way through. So give me your best regal accent."
Eric grit his teeth. Time to put up or shut up. Talking his way past the guards would be his trial run. And if he failed, better to do so in front of some guards than Lucien.
"I got this, Your Majesty. I've read a Shakespearean book or two in my time."
He squared off his shoulders, cracked away the stiffness in his neck, and pulled flat his shirt. Sucking in a deep breath, he marched down the corridor, ignoring the whispered pleas of the queen. All he wanted was to jump out of the nearest window.
"Halt! The Regent Lord is not taking any visitors at the moment."
Eric pulled himself to a stop at the end of the ornate runner, folding his arms in front of himself with as much posture as he could manage.
"Moveth aside, valorous sir. I am the king, and hest thee obeyeth."
The guards exchanged a look before they lowered their weapons in the stranger's direction.
"Say what now?"
"Doth thee not recognizeth me? Mine own visage shouldst make it thee trembleth in feareth."
One of the guards squinted a bit.
"We know who you are, mate. Just surprised you'd be daft enough to show up here. The pretender that kidnapped the prince."
He took a menacing half-step forward.
"Question is, do we take you alive or dead?"
Eric frowned.
"Alloweth me to introduceth mine own companions. Bob, removeth their arms."
The undead obeyed dutifully and lumbered around the corner, his milky white eyes glowing purple. To their credit, the guards held their ground, if a bit shakily. It was when the massive bear rounded the bend that they lost their nerve. The furthest guard dropped his poleaxe, nearly screaming as he bolted past the king.
"I don't get paid enough for this!"
The other guard followed seconds after, seeing he was alone in the hallway. Eric smirked, feeling rather pleased with his performance. Pyra all but yanked Eric down until they were face to face.
"What the bloody hell was that?"
"Ow! What? I was talking like you do."
"Oh, is that how you think I sound?"
Pyra looked scandalized, her mouth forming a flat line.
"Let's just go in, and let me do the talking this time."
With his courage returning to him, Eric marched up to the door and kicked it, hoping to make a grand entrance. He could get into this acting thing. Unfortunately, not only did the door not open, or even rattle on its hinges, but it left him with a throbbing pain in his left foot. Pyra gave him another look as she casually reached up and pulled down on a lever. A loud metallic clunk sounded. Eric sheepishly pushed against the doors again, and this time they swung open at his touch. He tried to recapture his previous flair and strode into the room, radiating what he hoped was confidence. The room was modest in size, drenched in firelight. Banners and tapestries covered every inch of the stone walls, with only a single stained glass window above an ornate chair to let in the sun.
Refractory tables lined the edges of the room, many of them nearly bowed beneath the weight of countless rolled scrolls. One massive round table was set up in the center of the room, several maps pinned against its surface with model troops laid out in strategic patterns. It would have been the perfect stage, if not for the sheer number of military men standing around. Many were dressed in differing shades of crimson, but all bearing the tabard of the White Willow. There were dark-skinned men wearing heavy fur-lined garments that were much too warm for this region, and tall, skinny men wearing long, silken frocks. Even the Brotherhood was in attendance, their black canvas vestments standing out among the sea of crimson. At the head of the table, wearing flowing, regal robes, was Lucian. So that's what a full elf looked like, Eric thought, as all eyes turned in his direction. The Regent Lord had pale, ivory skin, as though he were carved from the finest porcelain. His features were elongated, with a sharp nose and tightly narrowed eyes. His platinum blonde hair was tucked into neat braids that met at the nape of his neck and draped over one shoulder. Eric heard a hiss of profanity at his side and chanced a glance without moving his head. Pyra was peering around him, hesitant to step into the room.
"Oh, it's Wednesday."
Her mistake was heavy in her words. Eric's eyes turned back to the war cabinet he had stumbled into. One of the men nearest the Regent Lord had finally set down the brightly colored flag he'd been in the process of moving when Lucian spoke up.
"Ah, brother, it's so good to see you again."
Of Bandits and Bad Magic is book 3 of the ongoing series by Leslie Herron. Tune in every few weeks to hear the latest chapter as it's being written. If you'd like to listen to books 1 and 2, you can find links in the description.
What is that?
Please stop.
It smells like sour milk and wet camel fur?
Stop! I don't want to smell it anymore!
Can shadow creatures even smell?
No, but even I can smell that! I said stop! That's gross.